This is the Archives Committee meeting, and this is Sepide Khosroja, the chair of the Archives Committee. And I do not have a list of all the members, but I would like people who are present to just say their names. Who is
by signal area?
By the signal area as well. Right. Melinda, you want to go first?
Okay. Melinda, KPFT.
Don White, KPFK.
Ambrose Lane, WFW.
I thought we were going by signal area.
Lavarne Williams, KPFA.
Bonnie Simmons, KPFA.
So that's Brian?
Brian DeShazer, Pacifica Radio Archives.
Addie
Gevins for the Pacifica Radio Archives.
Okay, so I have Melinda, Brian, Sepide, Sherna, Don, Lavorne, Addie, Ambrose, and Bonnie here. And I sent around a very short agenda. The first item of the agenda was the report from PMB, which Archives from a Task Force changed to the committee a report, who are the members of the PMB and the rest of it. And I don't know who wants to give that report. It seems that Don would be ready to give that report. Then the other one is going to be the second item on the agenda is report about Archives Day, the fundraising. And I put as the third agenda the task force to meet with ED and present archives needs. But we can certainly have, and then Sherna had another item on the agenda. And I don't know how to really phrase your agenda item.
It was a substitute for your number three.
Excuse me?
It's a substitute for your
number three. No, that's fine, but I just want to say what title you want to give to it. What is it?
Implementing the motion of October.
Implementing the motion of October. And I have no problem with this being the third item, and I want the others to let me know if this is okay to go from report from PMB, report from Archives Day, and implementation of the motion of October. Is there any objection to this? Okay, I guess that's fine. The agenda approved with three items. Does anybody have any additional item to the agenda? Okay. First item, Don, Lavorne, anybody from PMB who wants to cover the report from PMB?
Can I ask one quick question?
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to ask one quick question since we are archives. Did anybody record Coretta Scott King's funeral today?
Actually, I have it on Comcast.
Oh, good, okay.
Yeah.
I just was wondering because that would just been so wonderful for archives.
I have it on Comcast. In fact, it's running again.
Good. Okay. Sorry, I just had to ask.
Okay.
That's fine. You know, that's fine. We are just fine to ask questions. That's what we are there. So anyway, does anybody want to start to get the report?
Peter, hold a second. I just recalled that there was an email from Ann Hallett asking for an agenda item.
I haven't seen her. I haven't seen the email because I haven't been on email but if she comes online, we discuss that. But she's not there yet. Can we start on the report from PMB?
Well, I'll defer to others. I mean, we had a very substantial report from Brian and the Pacifica Archives, but I did not know that I might be called upon to give a report.
Oh, no, actually, it could be a very informal report.
Lavarne and others should just chime in immediately. We had a very comprehensive, I think, very good report from the director of the archives, and it certainly got all of us thinking, but there was no action really taken by the PNB vis-a-vis the archives. So I'm just going to defer to others now who were present at the PNB meeting to see what observations others have about that.
Sure. This is Brian. I'll go on the stack
just go ahead,
Lavarne,
Brian.
Wants to.
I'll go next.
Thanks. And thanks, Don, for recognizing the presentation. And this time, and I did send this an email recently to you guys, the committee, that what the report that I included in the written packets for the board members was the 23-page report that we gave to the Grammy Foundation based on a year-long, long-term preservation project. So it gave a lot of information about what we do, the list of 100-plus tapes we've preserved, what we're doing with it, and the outcome of all that work, simply to support, you know, the back work that we're really talking about in terms of where our energies are going and labor and, like, how much do we serve the stations, how much do we put towards archiving. And so this report sort of helped provide that support. In terms of action with the board, I think I did get action because we talked about money, we talked about the building, we talked about meeting our preservation goals. And I think that the realization is that we have to adjust the budget to give us more breathing room to do what we need to do. And I believe that the board and the finance committee, which is how the process will go with me working with the CFO and the new ED, adjusting the budget and then going to the finance committee of the board and then eventually the board to approve some of those adjustments. So I think I had a good response in that the board is receptive to adjusting the budget to allow us to continue our work.
And plus that they have accepted our motion to become a committee.
Yes, that was very important.
Right. Lavon, do you want to add anything to this?
Oh, well, I think that, yeah, Brian pretty covered it. Well, one of the aspects, I guess I'd spoken briefly with Brian, this was after his presentation, was, you know, we were, with the new ED, we were really into a position, you know, where we can choose to move forward or we can, like, continue our little game playing. And I think the Archives Committee, though, has been an exception to this. And I just think that, like Brian was talking about with the MP3 player, you send that out in terms of, you know, how do we actually move the foundation forward, how we get into other aspects of the media, you know, and then the whole discussions we had about licensing and actually getting an attorney so that we can start in working with Kriegler, who did a presentation about various aspects of that. So, again, just in terms of Brian's presentation, is always exciting. There's always something that is new and that will appeal to a broader range of listeners than this group of people who are in their glory years or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I will say too, you know, while John Kriegler was presenting to the board in executive session about FCC, IRS, and copyright issues, you know, I was there to help, you know, give some information about speaker releases, about the problem with copyright.
Lamont Yakey.
Lamont
Yakey. Hi, everyone. Sorry to
join
you tonight.
Okay,
welcome,
go ahead,
Lamont.
So that's it. I was able to, you know, give some historical information about copyright and how the operations of the foundation has worked in the past, which John Kriegler, you know, supported. You know.
Right.
Brian?
Mm-hmm.
Hita, can we ask Brian some questions now? Hello?
Hello? Shana, we hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Brian? I did read the summary of the report to Grammy. I didn't read the whole thing. But I'm wondering, because you mentioned that in your report to the board, you were able to address the whole issue of service and versus, or not versus, how much, how that's balanced, which has been an issue for the committee from day one. And I wonder, because that certainly wasn't in the summary part, and I wonder how that came out in the report to the board.
The summary part of the report to the Grammy would have nothing to do with service to the stations versus archiving methods. So that report was strictly to share with them what we're doing to the grant organizations that are funding our activities. There has been no formal study of our energies other than feedback from people involved with our Fund Drive Day who have clearly stated in the postmortem meeting, this is Bonnie Simmons, Phil Osagata from National, Susan Stone, Addie Gevins, Mark Torres, Christopher Sprinkle, and the GMs on a separate call, that we really are spending too much of our time raising money when we're not doing enough work in the archiving. In other words, we don't have a cataloger cataloging a major problem. So, but I think that we're resolving that in this budget adjustment, which I'm going to be working with the CFO and the ED, and then going through the process of hiring the cataloger as soon as possible. We have it budgeted for June of this year, so we're looking forward to it. So in terms of how did was it presented to the board, no, this wasn't the issue for me to take to the board that we have to do the study or results of a study. I think they're the results of what we're trying to communicate to the board and the foundation is already being receptive by the CFO, the new ED, and you guys, the committee. So, you know, we're on our way, but I don't really think that we need the formal study because the proof is in the pudding.
In your report, you had talked about the issue of balance. I was just wondering how that had come about.
I just told you the whole story, so I don't know what you're asking me again.
I heard your report, Brian, on the webcasting too, and I thought it was an excellent report. But what was very interesting to me was that the PMB that last year just made us a task force because there was no enough interest. All of a sudden, I heard from everyone that everybody said, oh, archives is a treasure, we want to give the time, and you were the one who said you need money, and we need this, and you don't even have, besides Addy, that is a part-time, you don't have any professional archivist. And so anyway, it was very interesting that the PMB as a whole were very interested in the archives.
Yeah, well,
that's my report of what I heard through the webcasting.
Brian, can I ask another question in terms of the Grammy report, the summary?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't clear because, as I said, I didn't read the whole thing. I was only able to read the summary. But it comes to my mind also because of this request of Ann Hallett. When you talk about transcription, you don't mean literal transcription of the contents, do you?
Yes,
Eddie, why don't you take
Okay. Yeah, this is Addie Gevins. I'm the coordinator of the Preservation Access Project. So I think there's like two things I want to add here. One thing is that we had a report in phase one of this project from one of our advisors, Claude Marks, that's up on the web for new members here. You can go look on the archives website under the grants, under the reports, and that gives a little breakdown analysis of the priorities and how much of the staff energy is used, doing actual archiving work and doing support services. So that's a place to look for that. And then about the transcriptions, our grants, our preservation access grants include some money to do some total transcriptions of content for a few, a very limited number of tapes in our collection so that they're accessible to scholars and for other uses. And these are very much more detailed transcripts than you get when you just get somebody doing a regular audio transcript. They're not at all like the kind of transcripts that you prepare for publication, like in a book or something, because they're actual like transcripts of the tape. And most of these tapes were, like live discussions, that kind of thing. Does that help?
Yeah. Offline at another time, I'd like to talk to you, the two of you, about that.
Sure. And some of those transcriptions are available on our website, but they're not like not consumer products.
So are we done with the first part, the report from PMB? Is there any questions? Okay, I guess we're moving to the second item.
Don White.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to... I think most of the members of this committee are returning and have a clear idea what the mandate and what the... general focus of this committee's work is, and in what areas it's going to be focusing and what areas it has responsibility for. I don't want to take time now, but I would like, as a new member of the committee, to get a more of a handle on the kind of the mandate and responsibilities of this committee vis-a-vis archives.
Don, let me read you just, it's just one very short paragraph,
please.
Which is our mission, which is PRA supports the mission and goals of, I don't have it here.
Problem. I don't want
to. But I'm going to send around the mission statement of the Pacifica Archives Committee. And maybe in that statement it would be more clear.
That's excellent. Because I don't want to take any more time.
I just wanted
to alert people that I am a little bit confused. Just minor confusions in my mind, like, what areas of responsibility does this committee focus on? And that will help if you send that to me.
Okay.
I'm going to just
circulate to the new member. Just the list I have. I added new members. I know you know you're from KPFK. I'm going to send in our mission statement.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Lamont Yakey also. Would you send me, I'm a current member, but would you send me one of those copies as well?
Who is this?
This is Lamont Yakey, also.
Oh, I send it to the whole list. I send it to everyone because I have to send it to Brian anyway too.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Send the mission statement.
That would be helpful.
But most of the things that right now I think Sharon and Brian and Addie were talking about is in the mission statement. It's more technical because there are more technical people that some of it I don't even understand, that I've been in the archives committee for 1 year. So I just want to let you know that some of this discussion, it was above my head too. I guess it had something to do with, you know. Sharna wants to explain more. She's welcome to explain.
I'll talk to them because it has to do with ways of going after grant funding to do what.
Yeah, it had to do with the type of grants, the way they're going, what is being preserved.
Exactly.
Humanities versus art, and I don't want to get right now into, but that can be explained to you, but it's not part of the mission
statement. It's not a matter of humanities versus art, but how much emphasis is on the preservation, because I noticed in that report that the original budget, there was a lot of money in transcription, which had been transferred, which to my mind was the best thing possible to do. And it then has to do with debates within the archival community about sound, et cetera, et cetera.
So it
has to do with our helping in discussions about how to approach certain foundations for funding.
Yes.
Okay.
Sharna
is very knowledgeable about this whole thing, and I said it's above my head. So anyway, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I just wanted to say to Don and the new members, you know, the committee really was sort of, you know, I approached, you know, asking for a task force committee in order to help inform in this level of detail about the archives discipline and ethic and the science of, you know, the information management of what we're really trying to do and what our mission to collect and describe and preserve and make available for research the recordings of Pacifica Radio. So what I wanted to do was have a longer discussion than the 10-minute presentation that I'm usually afforded at the board meeting. And the way to do it was sort of bring in some board members and into the discussion of asking Addie questions about the grant transcriptions and asking me about what I meant with the fund drive or whatever.
Exactly.
So it's that level. So from there, it's built up to creating an educational task force, which I think you'll be interested in, and helping take what we do to universities and grade schools and middle schools and high schools. How do we distribute and make accessible the recordings to education? And we have a building campaign task force to really try to work on trying to find us a new space. So that, in a nutshell, is what we're doing.
Okay, so is it okay to move to the next item, which is reports about the Archives Day?
Yes.
Okay. So who wants to start?
Hey, Bonnie, do you want to talk first?
No, why don't you go ahead and then I'll follow you.
Arg. Okay, so I guess the good news is that as of yesterday, we've met our goal of fund drive.
Oh, great. Congratulations.
We'll announce it officially when, you know, the check's clear and everything's fine. But since the day, we've been doing continual contact with the donors and responding to them with thank you notes, with a tax letter for the new year. And we have been receiving $4,000 and $5,000 pledges on a weekly basis, as well as small donations. So we're very happy with that. And I've been working with Lonnie on adjusting our budget to help continue the creativity that the archives has put into the day. I have to say this again with Sherna and the committee's commitment to understanding that the foundation has an obligation to support the back work of library sciences and the archiving and collecting and cataloging and describing. The fun drive day, as I said, the postmortem meetings we've had with
Brian, excuse me, this is Daddy. I'm about to go through a tunnel, so
okay.
I'm just going to say goodbye for a minute. Okay.
See you in a minute.
Okay, bye.
So it really did show that the archive staff of six was doing the work of 50 people, from producing, publicizing, programming, phone development, emails, promote, you know, everything that we could, everything that comes in with the fund drive. The stations take, you know, 50 to 60 people and volunteers to do, we're expected to do in one day. With the GMs, we realized that because we only have one day, we don't have room to adjust programming or premiums or the way that something's pitched, like a station has 10 days to do. So a lot of our bang for our buck goes into solidifying our schedule, our hosts, our guests, the subject matter, and trying to promote it as early as possible. And a lot of that doesn't happen. I think Bonnie will say, you know, some of the bands that had committed, you know, kept wavering to where it held up publicity or press release. We had some other subject matters that didn't work out as quickly as we'd liked. So we, you know, again, tried to focus on the War and Peace thing and make that the publicity angle. You know, so, we're very happy and proud of what we did, but it proved that we can't rely totally on 18 hours of a national broadcast to raise $280,000 or $180,000.
Well, Brian, can I ask, but how, in other words, you raised the $60,000 after the fundraising day, right?
That's correct.
During the day?
Yes, the end of the day of December 6th, we were at $126,000. We've now gone over the $180,000.
Fantastic.
Raised that. What happened after the actual day? How did you go about doing that other fundraising?
Well, I think I just said it by taking, we sent thank you postcards to all the donors. Then I think a couple weeks later we responded again with the tax letter for their IRS return.
No, that's for the 120,000.
No. For the getting over 180,000.
I'm not clear how you went from the
They raised 126,000 by the end of the day on the 6th
of
December.
I understand that.
After that, they did this campaign of sending postcards, right, Brian?
Right. We had people that pledged but didn't give us their credit card number.
Oh, I see.
Or, in other words, they were the pledges, not the checks or, I mean, credit cards. So we did two mailings to people who pledged but didn't pay yet. So after we had, I think, 20-some thousand dollars come in just in, you know, the 2 weeks following that.
Daddy.
Hi.
Hi, thanks back. Thanks for coming back.
I'm back. Okay, thanks.
Brian, this is what I want to say about the archives day. What I heard the comments was, as you said, the last time we had a meeting, you said too much emphasis was put into this whole War and Peace reading.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't properly... people didn't really know. There's way more into it. So, what I heard from people that usually are very much supportive of archives, I'm just saying that this reading to them didn't seem too sexy. too appealing. They were like, they want, you know, people are very much used to when they hear archives, some fiery speeches from 1940s or 1950s. I'm just telling the feedbacks I heard.
Okay.
And,
well, I'm not going to rebut that with this, but I'm going to give you a piece of information. The best-selling premium for the entire day was the book.
You know, I'm sure it was, because so many people who liked the book called. But I'm talking about those people who didn't call. So obviously, the people who listened to it, they were attracted to that. So I'm just giving you this feedback because that's what I've heard.
Okay.
But not that it wasn't a good choice, but I'm just saying it was 18 hours and lots of other things was going on. I'm just giving you that other things that were there weren't really necessarily covered in the advertisement or in the building up for this archive state. That's only a feedback I heard from others. Just want to give it to you.
Sabita, I got much the same feedback from people. I think some of the feedback was, you know, an hour would have been fine, but 4 hours, and here, you know, we're in the midst of a government that's, this is before the official announcements about spying, but, you know, why wasn't, we have all kinds of stuff from the 60s that relate to this. In other words, that it just did not appeal to a lot of our listeners. Those were the feedback I got.
Well, out of curiosity, so what part of it didn't they like? I'm curious. I missed that.
Well, that it was 4 hours of War and Peace. That, you know, 1 hour would have been fine, and I personally felt that way myself. But I also had another concern, and that is that I did not get anything to email to people until the day before, and
uh-huh.
I have a very, very large mailing list. So I could not alert them about the archive. There was nothing in the L.A. Times. So something fell through the cracks with regard to the PR as well.
Well, you know, it bothers me. Maybe I'm an antique, but I was just completely floored by it. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I agree, but nobody disagrees, I don't think.
No, we're just saying what feedback we got.
This is Bonnie. There are many points that I think are well put in this, in that I worked on the Archives Day itself, and Addie and Brian and I and others that were involved in the actual day have met prior to this, and we've, you know, made copious notes of a number of things that we think can be done better. It's funny. My impression of War and Peace. Hello.
Hello.
We're here.
My impression of the War and Peace was that I think there was sort of a there was a little bit of a problem to me that the postcard indicated that it was going to be War and Peace all day. And I understand why that happened and why we went with it, because we just had trouble being, you know, behind the, keeping up with the starting line as far as having information about what we could put on the postcard early enough. In listening to the actual War and Peace hours, I actually was quite fascinated by them, and I wished that there had been a way to actually have more actual readings from it. But I know that we struggle with that when we're also trying to raise money. As far as the musical section, it was ambitious of us to try to do it. It's the first time that we've tried to do it. Live music with a number of bands is a very complicated and delicate process to have come off right. And we learned a lot. And I know that we can make that a lot more effective. And somebody else say something. I'll leave it at that for the moment.
I like what you're saying.
I didn't hear any of the live music, unfortunately. But I did have a question, and that is, you know, in many ways, because I talked to RPD, right after the day. You know, we talked about the sense that the PDs have of the listeners, and I wonder how much consultation there is with the PDs of the five signal areas in planning what should happen on the archive day, so it's sort of tied into what's going on at the stations.
Well, I kind of don't want to answer it because I think we're getting into what is a production meeting, and I don't think that that's the purpose of the committee. Although I appreciate your concern, I report to the executive director, which at the time was Ambrose Lane, who's on the call, and I had a team of producers and consultants that made some very hard decisions as we went through the process. The bottom line for us was we have 18 hours to make $180,000. So I appreciate your concern, but I'm not going to get into a production meeting on every detail of how we, six people, plus consultants and favors, put on an 18-hour national broadcast. Ambrose, if you would make a comment, I'd appreciate it.
You were successful.
Yeah.
I mean, 180 grand, and all the stations didn't give you all the support they should have. They didn't run all those commercials you sent them, as they had committed themselves to do. I was amazed when you said you'd made the 180, because it was very, very tough.
This is Lamont Yakey calling, talking. Let me just say this. It's good, Brian, that we're able to raise that, and I think everybody in the all the networks and station, you know, supports that. The matter was it just simply a little bit too much time devoted to it, and could we have also gotten as much or more money by featuring some of the other programs that we have too? That was the issue. That was the matter. That I for one share some of Sherna's concerns in the sense, this is not a negative comment, it's just to say, can we be a little bit more diverse and a little bit more resourceful? And you're right, Brian, perhaps it would be a decision made by the committee that you'd set up to do that. But it seems to me that if all the different stations could identify themes that they find that are most appealing to a lot of their listeners. For example, even though we did War and Peace was very popular, I wonder, did it come from more from one if we did an examination, more from one station than another? Was it across the board? Because it just seemed to me that we had some really, really current critical issues to deal with, and some people kept waiting to hear. But I think the true followers and supporters of the station tuned in, supported, and would listen to whatever we had. But we wanted to try to reach some additional audiences as well, you know, to try to tap into libraries, to try to tap into, you know, other institutions that could benefit from acquiring what we have to offer in the archives. And therefore, that was that thought that maybe the next time we do it, we might all, as a committee, confer in advance and assist Brian, you know, to the degree that we can strengthen, not you know, broaden what we have. Again, it's wonderful that you met your target, even if it's a couple of months afterwards. That's great. That's all I have to say.
Are we done with this?
I would like to say thanks for your patience. I had another meeting. I'm glad I'm here. I would like to say I really enjoyed. This is Teresa. I enjoyed the quotes from the CD, and I ordered a copy of it. What was the name of the CD, Brian? The one.
I don't know.
Different people. Well, it was different people reading other people's speeches.
Oh, yes, the Howard Zinn.
I enjoyed
history.
That very much. And
oh, that was very good, sure. Yeah.
And I liked it because I think that I heard some speeches of people that I had not heard before. And I did not, I mean, it was more diverse. I mean, I heard it wasn't just civil rights speeches. It wasn't just labor. It was a diversity that I thought was very refreshing. And I thought it was a very clever idea to get the celebrities to do the readings.
Thank you.
Okay. So, is there any more comments? Congratulations. I just want to congratulate you guys for just raising the money and working so hard. And I think everyone here really appreciates what all the hard work you do. And I just want to mention that the archives is kind of tricky type of committee because it's not, we are giving comments that might seem beyond, it shouldn't be at all micromanaging the archives or giving comments that would lead to, you know, like we want to say what Brian and Addie should do. But I think I take these things as comments, not as something I don't think archives should do or shouldn't do. So that's all I want to say.
No, I agree, Sabina. You know, and we are in touch with our listeners, those of us from the LSVs, and it's important that we give feedback.
Yeah, you just have to, you know, and I understand why Brian, you know, gets, because if we get to a territory which is not our territory, and anyway, so, right, Brian?
Well, yes. But I do want to, but I want to say it's not because I don't respect what you're trying to say.
No,
it's
I completely understand.
That this is that we do that. Like, we invite everybody at every opportunity in the state, in the network, to help participate in the fund drive. From GMs at Administrative Council meetings and Pacifica National Board meetings months in advance, to you guys, the committee, to the PDs, trying to find programmers at the stations that can pitch and know the subject matter. We've done the hour-to-hour, every single separate study, African-American, Native American, Eastern philosophy, women's movement. We've done that, and sometimes it doesn't work. In other words, since we've done it 5 years in a row, 4 years in a row, we have learned something, and we're still trying to develop it, and it is always changing. So we do take a look at what premiums are being successful at the station level during their fundraisers before we go into our fund drive. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the subject is already saturated to where we shouldn't be using that subject matter. So we work with the program hosts, Sonali, Ambrose, the people that, you know, bring the subject to the archives. So it's not for lack of respect to those people or the opinion, but I can't include a million people to produce the show before it happens. So we have, you know, so I believe that we do it.
Yeah, we completely understand. So I'm sorry, Ad, you wanted to make a comment.
Well, I just wanted to point out that, you know, in our meeting, you know, in our post-mortem meeting, or can we come up with a better word than post-mortem? I don't remember, but, you know, we have learned some things about when we really have to start planning, which is much, much, much earlier than we have been, but it's but there's also the issue that we've had every year of actually getting the participation from the stations and actually getting the help, you know, at in a timely manner from people, even though we start way early, everybody just comes in at the very end with all kinds of ideas, and it's like really too late, so that's one thing that we're trying to massage to figure out how to make better for a, you know, all-system broadcast.
May I say something, too? It just seemed like time flew. Of course, we had the hurricanes here in Houston, but we have something at our station called the buyback plan where we actually tell people about our pledge drive in advance and say, if you pledge now, you know, we will make our pledge drive shorter. And I really felt in my heart that I just did not do enough to send out personal emails to my friends in advance of this event to tell them to, you know, tune in. And, I mean, everybody should, I mean, the word archive should be on everybody's tongue, you know, the week before this event. That's what I think. And, unfortunately, the Thanksgiving holiday preceded this pretty intensely, so I just got back, and I wish that I had had more things at my disposal that would have facilitated me, you know, sending out a big load of emails to people or talking it up more, or the station somehow in, you know, injecting it into different programs to kind of give it more hype in advance. So people really would have been looking forward to it. Not that we weren't, but I think this has to do with planning in advance, you know, because the further you plan ahead, the better. And then things like hurricanes will take their toll, but not as bad.
Thank you.
Like that.
But anyway, thanks a lot to Brian and the team and that pursued this whole thing and made finally their goals in 2 months. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Bravo.
Indeed.
So what the next item is the Sherna's motion, and Sherna, do you want to read it to everyone?
Yeah, well, I had sent it out. Unfortunately, I had eye surgery yesterday, so I didn't get it sent out till today. And just to update people, Cecita, you had been suggesting as your item 3 that...
I just withdraw it. I'm putting your item.
I want to explain.
Oh, okay.
What this, you had suggested that we meet with, that some group meet with the ED. And in October, we had voted on, it's fairly long. I'm glad to hear that maybe part of it isn't even necessary anymore, which was the concern about getting a cataloger. That apparently has now been taken care of, if I understand Brian correctly. But there has this ongoing concern of the committee from our very first meeting 2 years ago, and that was the balance between service and archival preservation. Anyhow, I could read the whole thing, or I could read you the actual 3 points in the motion, but there's a lot of whereases. But what we had moved was that the ED be invited to join a conference call with the committee in early 2006 to discuss the relationship of the archive to the foundation and discuss and the 4 ways of implementing the study that we recommended. This is the trying to figure out this balance between service and preservation. So that's what I say. I felt supplanted your notion that there be a meeting with him. I think that once the committee is reconstituted, we could then act on number 1 that we had already passed. Number 2 was that the PMV agendized a presentation by the PRA committee at its next quarterly meeting to discuss the committee's concern about the issue of balancing service and archive preservation functions. 3, it sounds from what Brian was saying that maybe we don't have to worry about this immediately, that the PMB support full 2006 funding for a cataloger and eventually consider hiring a full-time salaried archivist and or development director. And I want to make sure people remember our note, which was this is not intended to supplant Brian by any means, who would continue to serve as administrative director. So number 3 is partially accomplished in terms of the cataloger coming on in June, but I think it's still important to have that out there since there's the issue of eventually a full-time archivist and or development officer. So what I would like to suggest is that once the committee is fully constituted, after all, I would hope by our March meeting all the LSDs will have voted their members on, and that perhaps we can invite the ED onto that conference call. Now, I sent the motion this morning, and I did send it to the people who are on the committee from the PNB. So everyone should have gotten it, but I can also resend it, and then we can decide how we would want to handle the other 2 items. But this was passed at our October meeting. So in other words, I'm suggesting that at our March meeting, we hopefully the committee will be fully formed with all the LSDs having voted. There are 2 people in, and that we invite the ED, hopefully he will have come down to the archive, and that we invite him in on the conference call and discuss some of these concerns that we've had, as I say, for 2 years now about this balance issue.
We are...
Hello?
We're still here.
Okay, just let me, so, Sherna, just I'm not clear from what you said. You want us to go over this motion, or should we wait for this motion to be debated and we voted for in the next committee meeting where we have the members?
What I'm suggesting is that in the next committee meeting, we start with item number one, which is to invite the ED in on the conference call, and that we then discuss with him item two and three, which we had already passed at the October meeting. And I sent this out to everyone this morning.
Yeah, I hope so, too. We'll do the best we can.
Somebody's phone, I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I mute it or something?
Yeah.
How do I do that? Okay.
Okay. So, I'm not clear, Shana. This motion hasn't been voted on. Has been voted on?
Voted on it at an October meeting, Sapita.
Oh, okay. So this motion, because my understanding was that we are going to discuss it further, so it's been already approved, right? By the committee when I wasn't in October. I was not there.
I know. And if you want to raise...
Okay, so it's already passed, right?
Right. And if you want to...
Oh, okay. Okay, that's what I wasn't clear. And so if it's passed, so what are we discussing now? I mean, of course, if we want to... I mean, we cannot... I mean, I don't know when the next committee is going to be formed.
Right.
If that I don't know when we are going to have a meeting with all the full LSP members and PMB members, because, for example, our meeting is February 18.
And ours is the 25th.
And ours, so hopefully, you know, one of the, our PMB members would push for the election, and hopefully we will have a committee by the end of February. I don't know about
right.
You and us. Who is the Hubbard WPFW? When is your meeting? Ambrose?
Say that again.
When is your next LSP meeting?
Tomorrow night.
Oh, ours is
two.
Okay, so KPFT two?
Yes, and in fact, while I had it on mute, I was printing ballots. And right in the middle of the ballots, I got archives.
Okay, can we get a commitment from the members, the PMB members or the LSP members on the call right now from each radio station to push for the election, and then we would have a committee for, like, send me the names, and I just send the names, and then we will know by the end of February or beginning of March who are the people in the committee?
I'll try.
Whose meeting is on the 25th?
KPFK.
Let's make a list.
I mean, the latest one, and I believe that both Lamont and I are going to run again, and I would suspect we would get elected.
I'm the elections chair, and I'll give it a try, but to be honest with you, I've got 9 different committees I'm trying to get elected.
I
do have 2 people that have expressed interest in archives.
And one of them's me.
One of them is Jim Stott. So I think we'll have our people by tomorrow.
Heck yeah.
Well, can I suggest if indeed Tuesday seems to be a good day, that we try and tentatively schedule for the 28th of February?
Well, I prefer let's wait and see.
There's something else going on the 28th.
No, let's wait. I might not be running for the archives committee.
Please close.
Hello?
You're not muted, Melinda.
Okay. Drive me nuts.
But I commit to make sure that I might not run, but I make sure that we have everything in order before I would be gone. So, all I'm asking that we do what we can in order to have a full committee. And then I will circulate the names.
Sapita, what I was suggesting, because we had so much trouble setting up this meeting, is that perhaps one of the PNB members, who we know has been elected, can take on trying to set up a tentative meeting.
Okay. Don, do you want to do that?
I could do it, but just coincidentally, I have a speaking engagement on Tuesday the 28th, so I have not be available that night, but if people want the 28th, it would be just 2 days after the KPFK LSB meeting, or if people are open to Wednesday, let's say March 1st, or other dates, do you want me to begin to poll
the members? Maybe you could survey people and try the 27th, the 1st. We've met on Mondays, usually.
Okay, the 27th, yeah. I would be willing, I think Sherna and I can work together and see what the best date is for people.
No, actually,
of course,
you know what? If you want to set, I can help to do it because I have the whole list.
Okay.
That's no problem. But I'm just trying to see if you want to set it now and Dawn, because you want to, you can chair the next meeting. But I can help work with you to make sure we have everything in order. How about that?
Yes, that's fine. Now, could we, as long as there are going to be members that are not yet elected, and we don't know, but tentatively, could we just ask people if there's a huge objection to Monday, February 27th?
No, I have no objection. Does anybody have any objection?
Totally fine.
No, I have none.
Okay, so we just put it for now for the next meeting to 27th. And
right.
Dawn and I, we work on to have a list of the committee members and the everything and to set it up for the next meeting. How about that?
Well, I was...
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Is the assumption that... What if people are unable to elect all of their people by the next meeting?
Okay. Who's this?
This is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. I would suggest for each single area that failed to do it, the same members should still continue to serve.
Right.
Until we have the new election.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So if, let's say, KPFA, I don't see any reason we can't do it because the PMB just met, we have to elect for all the committees. And usually
right.
we do that.
Everybody, thank you very much. I've got to leave.
Okay, bye, Abby.
Bye.
Thanks
bye,
so
Abby.
Much for coming.
Bye.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
So my suggestion is that we would try our best in each single area to have the committees together, but if not, we're all committed to be there anyway.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Makes sense.
Okay, so...
Good night.
Is there
Bye.
Any other... Hello? Is there any other item?
Sabita,
yes.
You can look at the list to whom I sent that motion, and if...
Right. For the other PMB members.
Well, I sent it to the PMB members after Teresa sent us that.
Okay. And I use that.
If anyone wants to reconsider it or go over it again, we can do that and do it with the follow up with having the trying to get
okay.
the
call. Okay.
And if we have people who want to participate on this committee, but they are not one of the two delegates from an area, or they are not one of the directors from an area, then I encourage that we invite them onto a call to
mm-hmm.
serve as, you know, technical advice in some capacity if there's an issue that comes up, or that we encourage to continue the subcommittees and have them on the subcommittees. So we have a high level of you know, commitment
yeah.
continuing it, you know, because I hate to send somebody away just because they are not... You know, because they're the third person on your LSB that's interested in participating, you know, so...
Yeah, I think that
she
should be...
I would hope that she would stay on
They can't vote, but, but they can certainly participate.
But also the notion that Teresa raises of people staying, like being in part of the task forces or working groups, like I would hope you would continue... in terms of the development and the building project.
Who?
Zita.
No, I am going to work, I'm going to continue for the development of working, for the building task force. Now that we have an ED, we have hopes.
Right.
But I'm just saying that people who are interested and, you know, and don't want to run for some reasons, that they have, they have some personal reasons not that they're not interested, or people who do not get elected, then they should have the opportunity to participate, but they just can't vote as members because we're going to have 15 members.
Right. They don't. They can't vote. But this committee's not really about voting.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's really, I think, about brainstorming and sharing ideas and providing support and feedback. But also, they don't count toward quorum.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure that there is a high level of commitment to those people that are elected to the committee, and we supplement them with people that are not elected but can provide expertise.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So I congratulations to all of us that now we are a committee, and we have PMV members committed to us. Congratulations to Brian to making the goals.
And do we have anyone that has committed to serve as secretary?
We have no. The election of the committee officers hasn't happened because we don't have a committee yet.
I know, but has anyone stepped forward and say, "Hey, I want to be secretary"?
I don't think so. It's not.
Yes,
but anyway, I want to thank every one of you, and hopefully we will have a set committee by March.
All right.
Thank you.
Before we conclude, I had a concern. This is Lamont speaking. So I'll let you finish with what you were saying.
I'm done.
Ada, okay.
I'm done.
And this is really to Brian. Brian?
I'm here.
Yeah, now that we've met those goals, was there a itemization as to what we're going to do with that money, or did you have it already targeted to meet existing?
No, the fund drive projection is included in the budget for our operations.
Okay,
it's already gone. It's already committed.
I just want to mention this to you, Brian. Are you done, Lamont?
Well, I guess my concern was I'm glad we made our target, but I would hope that we would have another one, the not too far in the distant future.
Yeah.
And I would hope that beyond just the basic maintenance, we could get to some of those concerns that I think Brian has. For example, a location, and we can have some money. Let me get more to the core of this. I would really hope that each of the stations, each of the five stations, could see this archives as absolutely indispensable and central.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else we do, maybe more significant than a lot of the things that we do, and the preservation of these records. They're just, I can't stress how I think they're so important. And whatever we need to do to assist Brian and to get the additional archivists and so forth, it's money. We've got to get to maybe the heads of each station to somehow see that this is not something on the back burner, not something just incidental to what the station does. This is the record of what KPFK is, and not KPFK, but the entire network is all about the future generations. And I
have a question too. Yeah. When you're finished, Lamont,
that's basically the sentiment I wanted to convey to everyone here.